Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Lenten meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who has bestowed upon us the ministry and the use of the keys, dear fellow redeemed. Of all the six chief parts of the Christian Luther's catechism, the ministry and the use of the keys is probably the least understood. Even the name of this chief part is kind of confusing. The office of the keys. Neither they do understand the name. There are many people who don't understand what it's all about. During my ministry, I've heard people say to me, "The pastor kicked that person out of church." Or, "We moved some members because we're trying to clean up our membership rolls." Or, "The church has no right to tell me what to do or what not to do or how I should behave." Or, "If I do this good thing, then I'll be forgiven." All four of those statements are totally unscriptural. When I was in Saginaw, I had an opportunity to visit with some people from a different Lutheran synod topic. And as I was talking to them, they had heard from me that we had one of our members who was under church discipline because he was living together with his girlfriend. And they thought that was just horrible. So judgmental and unloving. In fact, they said that one of their members who had been nominated to be on the church council was living with his girlfriend outside of marriage. Well, I try to show them from the Bible and from Luther's catechism that the loving thing to do for someone who's caught in a public sin is to try to lead them to see their sins to the power of the Spirit, and if they're led to repentance, and then we can joyfully announce to them full and free forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Well, a few of them thought that was a good idea, but the majority of them still thought that was very unloving, that we get so involved in members' lives. But you know, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be so involved in each other's lives that we can say to each other, "Your sins are forgiven. I forgive you your sins in the name of Jesus." That is so much more, a greater blessing than saying, "Good evening," or "Have a nice day." The first text in the scriptures where we hear of this term, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, is in Matthew 16, verse 19, where we read Jesus speaking to Peter. And he says to Peter, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, maybe there is something to that old tale about a big gate at the entrance of heaven, and Peter's going to be standing there with a big key and let some in and others not. Is that Jesus talking about here? No. You know, Jesus says, this is to be done here on this earth. We read again, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The keys of the kingdom of heaven are right here on earth. What are they? It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ having come into this world to take our place. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, having lived a perfect life of obedient love and thought, word, and deed for us, and then being sacrificed upon the cross as a full payment for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins, and then rising again to give us a resurrection to everlasting life. In short, in one simple sentence, the gospel is forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation that we have through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. Through his perfect life, through his sacrificial death upon the cross, his resurrection from the grave. And so we see again the importance of the cross in regard to the catechism. In fact, without the cross, there would be no office of the keys. So, what are these keys to be used for? Or what do you use keys for? You use keys to unlock your house door, unlock your car door. If you didn't have your keys and your car was locked, your house was locked, you'd have to break in by force. And we're told that you can't get into heaven by force. There's only one way to enter into heaven, and that's the spiritual door, which is Jesus. Therefore, one of the uses of the keys is to unlock the door, figuratively, to heaven. It's the power that the Lord has given to us to proclaim to someone, your sins are forgiven you, and by doing that, we're saying the door to heaven is open to you, it is unlocked to you. Now, we don't hand out keys when you become a member of the church, metal keys. But we clearly, every week, every service, have a proclamation of the gospel message of salvation to the forgiveness of sins. That gospel is heard in our scripture readings. It's found in baptism, in the Lord's Supper. This evening, we proclaimed it. After you all joined in confessing our sins, and then I said to you, God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. But there's another use to keys. We also use it to lock our doors. Lock our house door, lock our car door, so people can't get in. There's also use of the keys, the use of the gospel, albeit not an active one. For when the gospel is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit takes that gospel message, leads the person who hears that to see Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and then that forgiveness of sins is personally made his own through faith. But when someone hears that message and rejects that gospel message, refuses to believe in Jesus Christ, remains impenitent of his sins, and then the door to heaven is shut. Then we need to proclaim to them that their sins are still bound to them and the door to heaven is closed. In Proverbs we're told, he who despises the word will be destroyed. And Paul writes in Romans 2, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And Jesus says in John 3:18, he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So who has this power of these keys? Is it only Peter? Well, some people believe that. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Jesus gave only Peter this power, this authority to forgive sins. And then he gave it only to those whom he blessed, the bishops and priests of his time, and then they pass it down over the generations until today. But that's not scriptural. Because our text this evening from John 20 clearly shows Jesus saying the very same words in a little bit different way, not just to Peter, but to all the disciples. We read again our text. When the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus is here speaking to 10 disciples on that first Easter evening. We don't know where Thomas was. He wasn't there. Judas was already dead, having killed himself. And Jesus says things like forgive, retain, loose, bind, lock, unlock. They were given the authority and the power to forgive sins and to retain sins. But is that all? Peter and the rest of the apostles? Well, there's one more text that talks on the same subject of the ministry of the keys. And that's Matthew 18, 15 to 18, where we read, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. These words were spoken to the Holy Christian Church, to all believers in Jesus Christ. We are to be so involved with each other that if we see a brother or sister in Christ fall into a sin and are not repenting of that sin, we need to go, as Jesus said, tell him his fault between you and him alone. In this way, try to lead him to repentance, to godly repentance, and to look to Jesus Christ so we can announce to them, I forgive you in Jesus' name. Full forgiveness through his shed blood. That's done out of love. Out of love to the one who's been caught in the sins and to continue to have decency and order in our congregation. It's also done to show to the one caught in the sins and those who know about it that Christ does not condone such behavior, and neither does his church. Living in unrepentant sin can only lead to eternal death and damnation. These steps of what we call church discipline need to be taken out of love for the person who is caught in some public sin where they are not sorry for their sins. And then the Holy Spirit can take that message of the law, condemn them, and if they're led then to repent of their sins, with rejoicing and happy hearts, we as members of the congregation, together with the angels in heaven, rejoice and freely forgive that individual. Again this evening, Jesus says to us, as the Father has sent me, I also am sending you. Given by Jesus, this command, this authority to go out into all the world, and he says to you, go into the world and say, I forgive you sins in Jesus' name. When we announce the forgiveness of sins through Jesus, we are, as we said, figuratively opening the door of heaven to that individual. We proclaim this wonderful privilege, responsibility, and power that sins have been atoned for, paid for, cast away, washed away, canceled, remitted, done away with, all through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, this action is as valid and certain as if Jesus were dealing with that individual person himself. But we also have the responsibility to speak to those who refuse to repent, who don't believe in Jesus Christ, and to say to them, as Jesus said, their sins are still bound to them. The door to heaven is still locked to them and closed to them. And that action is also as valid and certain as if Jesus were dealing with that person himself. And that action is never done with joy or a happy heart, but it's done out of love to lead the person to see their lost condition, to see their impenitent heart, and by the Holy Spirit be led to repent of their sins so they can receive the good news of full and free forgiveness alone through Jesus Christ. The Christian's desire ever is the desire of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says to Peter, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So do you realize that Jesus, just like he was on Easter Sunday evening, standing next to the disciples speaking his word, this evening is talking as if he's standing right next to you? Do you feel his hand on your shoulder? Do you hear him saying to you, as the Father sent me, I am now sending you? We've been inducted into this office of the ministry of the keys, every single one of us, by being brought to faith in Christ Jesus. We have all that we need for this office. We've been forgiven. We have faith in Christ Jesus. We have the message of salvation. The love of our Savior fills our hearts. Jesus says, now go and forgive sins in my name. Later that evening, on that Easter Sunday evening, Jesus said these words in Luke 24. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then he concludes, and you are witnesses of these things. May God grant all of us here this evening to fulfill this action, to faithfully perform this ministry of the office of the keys by proclaiming to others your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. To repentant sinners, I forgive you in Jesus' name. And to those who are not repentant, to say to them, their sin is still bound to them, the door of heaven is shut to them. And if they are led to repentance, to rejoice and say to them, your sins are forgiven alone through Christ Jesus. Jesus has much work, as you full well know, for you and for me to do. May we not just rejoice in this peace and this forgiveness that we have, but may we also pass it on, share it with others who are in just as great a need of this forgiveness as we sinners are. Well, did the hymn writer write in his Easter hymn, he who slumbered in the grave is exalted now to save. Now through Christendom it rings that the Lamb is King of Kings. Now he bids us tell abroad how the lost may be restored, how the penitent is forgiven, how they too may enter heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.